Good morning, Sean.
Thanks very much for joining us.
You're welcome.
North Korea, they've been offering, as I mentioned there, these military supplies and weapons know-how around to countries like Syria and Myanmar with just a little bit of exchange, a little bit of cash in hand under the table. What exactly is actually happening? What kind of services is North Korea currently offering?
Well, we can only go on the reports that are being provided, of course, and that's what we're talking about, one of the reports that's not yet been published, but just a bit of background on that. So just there is a system in place. So when North Korea started its latest sort of ballistic testing, and then there became nuclear testing way back in 2006, the Security Councils started imposing sanctions. And they started just with the usual, you know, the arms embargo, not much more. And there's been at least 9 or 10 major resolutions since that time. Every year there's been another resolution which has gradually expanded the sanctions to try and limit what North Korea can do and to, frankly, punish it for its continuing illegal testing. And in 2009, as part of this, the Security Council set up a panel of experts to advise the Security Council on how these, or whether these, measures were being implemented. Were the sanctions working? Were they being enforced? Was North Korea being able to get around them? And that is the latest report from that panel of experts. There's 8 of them, and they're mainly experts in weapons of mass destruction, but also financial and customs controls. The latest report is what seems to have been shown to the New York Times, and that's what's hitting the headlines at the moment. It's clearly on its way to the Security Council, but it's up to the Security Council whether to agree with it or publish it or make it public to the wider audience. All the previous reports have been published and they're available on the website. So back to your question, what's going on? We can only go on what's reported. But from previous reports, which have said there are signs of these activities going on in these different countries, it seems that North Korea is able, with the assistance of states that should be complying with the sanctions on North Korea and aren't, North Korea is able to export its expertise and its actual equipment, presumably for money. That's its main advantage, because otherwise it's gradually being starved of foreign income. And that means the sanctions, of course, are biting, and it's looking for ways to keep it afloat.
Might mention those sort of nations you touched on there in just a moment, but just wanted to talk about the UN itself. Criticisms of the UN as something of a toothless tiger, it's not exactly new. Those kind of criticisms aren't exactly new. These kind of sanctions that they put against countries like North Korea, without proper enforcement, are they really even worth the paper they're written on?
My own opinion is yes, they are. And it's very easy, and it's understandable that people want to criticize the United Nations, and it seems like, as you say, a toothless tiger, because all it can do is keep slapping states like North Korea on the wrist, and it sounds all very pathetic and ineffective. But my view is that you have to stand back and say, well, what exactly is the alternative here? What we have in the world, whether we like it or not, is a system of equal states. There are 193 members of the United Nations and a couple of other states that aren't members. They're all sovereign states. They call it a horizontal system. There is no imperial parliament or police force to tell everybody what to do. What the rules are what those states agree they should be. And if there is no international police force that can come along and demand that one particular state act in a certain way and then back it up, because what you are then talking about is, what should we do? Invade North Korea or invade any other country like Syria who breaks the rules, the international law rules that do exist? So what is the realistic alternative? The realistic alternative is you're talking about war. That throws us back 100, 150 years to the times when that's how all disputes were settled. And I think we've moved on from that. So what we have is to try a system where we have at least a forum. there's a consensus of opinion amongst most states anyway that this behaviour is unacceptable, and an increasing amount of pressure applied on the particular state here in North Korea to stop particular behaviour and behave in a different way. And there's really no alternative to that system.
I think you raise an excellent point there, Alison. But talking about some of those bodies that perhaps do have the backing to actually do something in these situations and aren't, the UN report also criticised, as you kind of touched on before, Russia and China for failing to do enough to really enforce the sanctions on North Korea. Some have even said they've kind of gone behind a lot of people's back, China in particular, gone behind people's backs and really, you know, supplied North Korea when they should be cutting them off. What's your take on that? What more could Russia and China have actually done?
Well, Russia and China could, and the same goes for Syria, of course, in a different context, but Russia and China could be more cooperative, I think, with the whole purpose of the sanctions, which is to starve North Korea of what it needs to continue its weapons development, not of food and coal and other things it needs to supply, you know, feed its population. But they could simply adhere to the sanctions that are already in place. They haven't been as obstructive in the Security Council as they have been in Syria, which of course is a different and quite disgraceful situation where they've prevented any sanctions from being imposed on Syria, despite the clear evidence of the Syrian government using chemical weapons. So going back to North Korea, they should just be obeying the sanctions that are already in place and that they have a legal obligation to apply. Under the United Nations Charter, all members of the United Nations have a clear legal obligation to apply sanctions when they're imposed.
And just as a final point, Alison, moving forward with this, and this is a question that's been asked many, many times with North Korea, with Syria as well, indeed, moving forward, what next? What does the United Nations actually do if they do choose to publish this report and abide by its findings?
I think actually that really touching on your earlier question as well, which is the United Nations being a toothless tiger, I think the more publicity there is and the more investigation and light shone on what is going on, the more pressure will be brought to bear. No state, not even North Korea, actually likes to be caught out. And even Russia, when it's done quite outrageous things like invade Crimea, always tries to say, well, we didn't actually invade it. We didn't violate international law. So states are surprisingly keen on being seen in a good light. So the more these reports are, first of all, undertaken, these investigations are undertaken, and then the report published and fingers pointed, the better, because there'll be more diplomatic pressure to bear, and that ultimately is the only way of success, in my view.
Alison, thank you very much. Really appreciate you joining us this morning.
You're welcome.